Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercy. We thank you for your strength that has been upholding us and sustaining us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for miracles you have done in our lives. Thank you for more miracles as this fasting we are doing currently progresses. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the honor you are bringing to your name in our lives. Thank you for the breakthroughs that we see on every side. We thank you for our prayers that have been answered. And we thank you for more prayers, more of our prayers that you will still answer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence and power in our lives. Thank you for making us victorious in those places we have once been defeated. Thank you, Jesus. We also thank you for the teaching series we have been doing for a while now, which is building up a strong discerning spirit. We thank you for all the knowledge and revelations you have poured into our hearts and minds. We thank you for how you have transformed us through the knowledge of your truths. We thank you for how you have made us to grow spiritually, to grow in knowing you, in loving you, in obeying you, and in becoming like you. Thank you, Father. I ask, O Lord, that as we would be having another Bible study class right now, speak expressly by your Holy Spirit to everyone. Let everyone be enlightened by the light that is in your word. Let our darkness be destroyed. Let our deception and confusion be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do beyond our request. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence, and I know that if you pay attention during this class, there is so much you will learn from the Lord. We are going to continue from where we stopped during the last class. Remember that we have been teaching on building a strong discerning spirit. Building a strong discerning spirit. And we are still in part one, which is the origin, capacity, and abilities of the human spirit. And I have already taught on so many points under this part one. Now we will be moving to the next point, which is your spirit yearns for the environment it was created to live and function from the beginning. Your spirit, your human spirit, yearns or craves for the environment it was created to live and function from the beginning. Yeah, if you can remember when we started talking about this part one, if you can remember that I analyzed certain things that happened in the beginning. I broke down many things, if you can remember. I began to analyze what happened in the Garden of Eden. Yeah, and I said a lot of things. Yeah, if you have forgotten, you can go back to those teachings. Yeah, you can go back and listen to it again. Yeah, so I said at that time that the body was created for the spirit. The spirit was not created for the body. The body was created for the spirit. So which means that the body exists because of the spirit, because of the breath that came from God into that form that God used the dust of the ground to mold. Remember that form did not become a living being until the breath from God entered into that form that God used the dust of the ground to create or to mold. Just as you can carry some clay soil and mold it into an image or into a statue. Yeah, that was what God did. He molded something like an image, like a form, like a statue. And then he now breathed the breath of life into that thing he has molded with the dust of the ground. And it was at that point that man became a living being. Man begin to live from that moment. So now, even our common sense can tell us that the real man is not that image. I mean, our common sense should tell us that the real man is not that image that was molded from the dust of the ground, or that statue, or that form. Our common sense should tell us that the real man is the breath that came from God, because without that breath, there wouldn't have been any man. I don't know if you are getting the point. Without the breath that came from God, there wouldn't have been any man. Yeah. So the real man is a spirit from the beginning, and we are still going to that. Because that is another point. So, but what I'm saying now is that the spirit in man, or the spirit of man, is always yearning, craving for the environment God created it to live and function from the beginning. And what is that environment? That environment is an environment of fellowship with God, is an environment of intimacy with God, is an environment of glory. It's an environment of eternal life. It's an environment of joy. It's an environment of heaven, like Eden, like the Garden of Eden. That was the environment God created man to live in, to live and function from the beginning. So your spirit is always yearning for that environment. Because your body exists for your spirit to fulfill its destiny. Or for your spirit to fulfill your destiny. So your body is just to help your spirit fulfill its destiny. And then also there is a connection between your body, which I can say the body of your spirit. There's a connection between your body and the environment that it was created to live. There's a connection between your spirit, your body, and then the environment it was created to live in and to function in. And we know that that environment is not what we have today. The environment that God created your spirit and soul and body to function in from the beginning is not the environment that you and I are living in today. It has changed since when man fell through disobedience and was chased out of Eden. That environment was taken away from us, or maybe I should say we lost that environment. So, but Jesus came so that we can have the same environment again, so that we can access the same environment again. That was why Jesus came. So every day, every hour, your spirit wants that environment. And it is foolishness if you are depriving your spirit from the environment it is yearning for. It is foolishness to do that. Now, let's look at some scriptures. Let us look at some scriptures. Let me let us look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to look at some verses in this in this chapter of the Bible, Romans chapter 8. Yeah, there's a lot that is in this chapter, a lot. But I'm going to pick some few of them. Yeah, the first one I'm going to pick is in verse 6, which many of you know. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Verse 7 says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." Verse 8, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Yeah, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Yeah, so it started by, I started by reading from verse 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So what kind of death is in this verse? What is the meaning of that death? That is death. Yeah, the death there is the real death, which is separation from God. Separation from God. That is the real death. Disconnection from God. That's the real death. Yeah, I don't like to call it spiritual death. Because it is death. It is both physical and spiritual death. This death here. Yeah, even though when you are carnally minded, it doesn't mean you die instantly. Yeah, but you die. Every time you are carnally minded, you die. Yeah, that's the fact. So I believe it is both spiritual and physical death that happens every time you are carnally minded. Yeah. The chances that you will live to fulfill your days on earth will be reduced every time you are carnally minded. Yeah. And then every time you are spiritually minded, the chances that you will live long to fulfill your days are high. Yeah, that is why I believe that death is not just spiritual death. Spiritual death, because some translation says is spiritual death. But whether spiritual or physical, the death in this verse is the real death. And the real death is to be separated from God. Yeah, to be separated from God. So when you are separated from God, in the kingdom of God, and in reality, you have died. And when you are connected with God, which is what being spiritually minded means, it means you will have life and peace. And your spirit man understands this verse even more than your carnal man understand it. Yeah. Your spirit understands this verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Your spirit understands it more than your carnal mind, your brain understands it. Yeah. Yeah, that is why your spirit is always yearning for God's presence. Yeah, your spirit is always craving for God's presence. Yeah, because your spirit knows that If it is not in God's presence, it is dead. Yeah, your spirit knows that. Your spirit knows that not being in God's presence means death. Being in God's presence means life. Yeah, your spirit knows that. So that is why it is very wrong for those who have been given the key, the key to God's presence, the key to be connected with God, to now neglect that key. Yeah, to now despise that key. It's more or less like you have a key to open the door to God's presence, and then you just throw the key somewhere, you're not using it, and then you just forsake the key, you just you just regard that key to be irrelevant. Yeah, that is very wrong, and that is foolishness. Yeah. Let me continue further. I'm going to read okay. Let me read. I don't want to read so many verses. That is why I'm trying to select just some few. Yeah. Let me read verse 20. Let me read from verse 20, Romans chapter 8, from verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who had subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Yeah, it says the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So what does that mean? It means that everything God created, they are groaning, they are traveling, they are looking for something that they used to have. Yeah, everything God created, your body, your soul, your spirit, the plants, the animals, the ground, or the earth, the soil, everything God created, visible and invisible, they are groaning, they are traveling in pain together. They are looking for a freedom. They are looking for liberty. If you look at that verse 21, it says that the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Yeah, your spirit wants that deliverance. Your soul wants that deliverance. Your body wants that deliverance. All the creatures, they are looking for that glory. They are looking for that liberty. Why? Because from the time man fell in the Garden of Eden, every other thing fell together with man. Yeah, remember that God created the environment first. I mean, God created man's environment first. Before he now created man and put man in the environment he had created. So the environment was created for man. And there is a strong connection between the life of the man and the life in the environment. Yeah, there is a strong connection binding the life in the man and the life in the environment. And we know that the life that was in the man was given to him by God. So when man fell and lost that life, the environment also fell together with man. So eventually the environment also fell and began to lose life. Yeah, so the earth as we see it right now was not like this from the beginning. Yeah, the earth as we see it right now, or as it is right now, was not like this from the beginning. Your body, your soul and spirit, as it is now, was not like that from the beginning. Yeah, because even from the beginning, man don't wear clothes. I believe you know that. Man wasn't wearing clothes. And they were not ashamed because they were not actually naked. Yeah, so they were being covered by God's glory. Yeah, so they do not need clothes because the glory of God was the covering of man. Yeah, but when man lost that glory, man now realized that he was naked. I'm going to repeat what I said. I said the head as it is now was not how it was from the beginning. And man, as man is now, was not how he is from the beginning. Yeah, and I say that man fell from the glory of God, and then the environment God placed us also fell from the glory of God. Yeah, because up to now, we can't find that Garden of Eden. Yeah, it was taken away, and many other things were taken away from the earth the moment man fell. Yeah, so what Jesus came to do was to restore all things to the way they were from the beginning. What Jesus came to do was to restore all things, even to more than it were in the beginning. Yeah, that is what Jesus came to do. And that is why that scripture says that the whole of creation are groaning in pain. The whole of creation are traveling in pain. They are not comfortable. Yeah, that's what it means. Your spirit is not comfortable, with the environment that is always around it now. That is why your spirit, who knows that environment? You know, you don't know the environment that that way from the beginning. But your spirit knows that environment. You don't know it. When I say you don't know it, I'm talking about your carnal man, your human mind, and feelings, and emotions. Yeah. Your human senses, or the senses of your body, they don't know that environment. Yeah, but your spirit knew that environment. Yeah, so that is why your spirit is not comfortable with this environment and cannot be comfortable with it. So that is why your spirit is groaning, like in that verse 22, Romans 8 verse 22, it says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." So your spirit is groaning, is traveling, you know, just like a woman that is in labor, that wants to give birth. Exactly. That is how your spirit is groaning. Every second, every minute, your spirit is looking for that environment. Looking for that environment. Because the environment it is now is not the environment it was created to live and function in. Yeah, so it doesn't want to be here. It doesn't want to be carnal. Your spirit doesn't want to be carnal. Your spirit doesn't want to be, to be full of the flesh, to be full of darkness. Your spirit is always looking for God. Always looking for God. Yeah, before I continue with this Romans chapter 8, let us also look at John chapter 10. Yeah, John chapter 10, verse 10. Yeah. Yeah, or maybe I should start from verse 9. John chapter 10, from verse 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter him, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Verse 10. "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Yeah, Jesus said he is the door to this environment. He is the door to this, or maybe I should put it this way. Jesus is saying, "I am the door to the environment of your spirit." Yeah, which is the kingdom of God. So he's saying, "I am the door to the kingdom of God. So whoever come through me shall be saved." So only me can save all creature. Only me can save all of creation. Yeah, that is what Jesus is saying. So salvation is, you know, salvation in a way is deliverance, and in another way it is restoration. Yeah, so when we say that when we say be born again, be saved, we're actually talking about your spirit man being released to be reconnected back to God. Yeah. That is what salvation entails. Releasing your spirit from the bondage of corruption of this world and from the bondage of corruption of your flesh, of your carnal nature. Yeah, that is all that salvation entails. Yeah. But there is still more. So like if you look at that verse 10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So Jesus was calling the devil, he was calling the serpent, Satan, the thief here. So he said Satan came in to steal, to kill and to destroy. So Satan came in from the beginning to do these things, to steal, to kill and to destroy. He stole a lot from man. He stole riches from man, wealth from man. He stole God's presence away from man. He stole the inheritance of man from man. Yeah, so he calls himself the God of this world. So he owns nothing. Everything Satan has, he stole them from man because man surrendered to him. So he is the thief from the beginning. But Jesus said in that verse 10, he said, I am come that they might have life. Yeah. So Jesus is saying that I will give you the life that you lost from the beginning. The life that was stolen from you from the beginning. And not only that, Jesus is saying that they might have it more abundantly. So that is where I'm going next. That's the next thing I want to talk about now. Another thing that Jesus gave you and I is life in abundance, which means that you are not going to have more than Adam and Eve had access to in the Garden of Eden. You will not only have what they had access to, but you will have more than what they had access to. So that is where new creation comes in. Yeah, so anyone that comes to Jesus, you will not only get connected back to God, your spirit will not only get connected back to God, you will now be recreated. Yeah. You'll be recreated for a higher glory than what Adam had access to. So there's a transformation that happens. Yeah, you become changed into another creature. So your spirit, after it has been released, your spirit is also will also be transformed into a new creature that now have access to a higher glory, to a higher realm. Yeah, because Jesus is restoring all things, not just to its former glory, but to a glory that is greater than the former glory. So Jesus is not restoring all things back to its former glory. No, it is Jesus is restoring all things back to a glory that is greater than that of the former glory. So the earth that is coming now, which Apostle John prophesied about in Revelation chapter 20, I think Revelation chapter 20. There's a new head that is coming. Yeah, and that new head is not going to be like the head Adam and Eve saw. It's going to be more glorious. More glorious than that. Yeah, it is in Revelation chapter 21. Yeah, Revelation chapter 21. Verse 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Yeah, so Jesus is restoring all things back to a glory that is greater than the former glory. Yeah, so the person you and I are going to be changed into is going to have a glory that is greater than the person Adam and Eve were created to look like. Yeah, we would be changed into a creature, or maybe I should put it this way, we are changing into a creature that is more glorious than the creature of Adam and Eve. And we are going to be given a glorious earth that is more glorious than the earth Adam and Eve knew. And I said earlier that the earth Adam and Eve knew is even better than the earth we have right now. The earth Adam and Eve knew is even better than the earth that we are now. But the earth that Jesus will give us, because he is restoring all things, will be far glorious, will be more glorious than the head that Adam and Eve knew. I don't know if you are getting the point. Yeah, so Jesus is changing us. Jesus is changing you and I into a new creature that we have access to a greater environment. Or maybe I should say, an environment with a greater glory than the environment Adam and Eve lived and functioned in. Yeah, that is what Jesus meant by you will have life more abundantly in John chapter 10, verse 10. What Jesus meant by you having life more abundantly is the fact that he's going to give you something better than what was in the beginning. Yeah. Yeah. So let me come back to the point we are looking at. The point says, your spirit yearns for the environment it was created to live and function from the beginning. Your spirit yearns for the environment it was created to live and function from the beginning. So let us go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Yeah. In, you know, that verse 22 says, for we know, Romans chapter 8 verse 22 says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and traveleth in pain together until now. And then verse 19, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Yeah, so everything God created from the beginning, they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Yeah, they are waiting for the sons of God to be released into the fullness of their glory. Yeah. So all the creatures, they are waiting. Why? The reason why they are waiting is because the moment the sons of God are being released into their glory, they know that they also will together be released into their glories as well. Remember that I said earlier that that your spirit is connected to the environment God wants you to function. So the moment God releases your spirit, which is your real personality, the moment God releases your spirit into the environment God wants you to function, every other thing in the head will be released too. Yeah, into their glories. So it's more or less like you and the creatures are connected together, and your deliverance is equal to their deliverance. Yeah, so once you enter into that glory, all creatures also, they will enter into their own glory. So they are waiting for man to be released into the fullness of His glory. So all creatures are waiting for that. So your spirit is crying out for this environment. Your spirit is crying out for the environment of God's presence, for the environment of God's dominion. Your spirit is crying out for the environment of God's victory. Your spirit is crying out for the environment of God's power. Yeah. And every time you allow your spirit to access this environment, everything around you will be free also. Everything around you will be free. Even the hair around you will be released from the bondage of corruption. Because everything in this world is under the bondage of corruption. Yeah, I'm not saying it from my head. I'm speaking the Bible. Yeah, everything in this world, the wall of your building, I mean the house you are living in, the wall, the roof, all of them, they are under the bondage of corruption. Yeah, let's look at verse 21, Romans chapter 8, verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So the creature, everything God created, they are under the bondage of corruption. The air we are breathing in is under the bondage. The water we are drinking, the ground we are walking on, the plants in the field, the food crops, everything, your clothes, everything is under the bondage of corruption. So everything is crying out for deliverance. So, and they are waiting
until you will be delivered. Because once you are delivered, they will also be delivered. Because the environment of your spirit is connected to the environment of the creatures, of other creatures. And just as we lost the environment in Eden, they also have lost their environment, which is the environment of God's glory. They have lost their environment. So we lost the environment in Eden. And Jesus came so that we can have access to that environment. I'm talking about the environment of God's presence, the environment of God's glory, God's dominion, God's power. Yeah, so the moment you enter into that environment, every other thing God created, I mean, every other thing, excluding the kingdom of darkness, excluding those things in the kingdom of darkness, every other thing God created, they will also be free. So let's say, for instance, you are in the spirit in your house. You are in the spirit, worshiping in the spirit, praying in the spirit. That moment that you are in that spiritual environment, everything around you, they are literally getting released from the bondage of corruption. Yeah, they are literally getting released from the bondage of corruption. Yeah. That is why some unbelievers, they are always envious of believers that understand this principle. So they feel like these people, they are not struggling. Like we are struggling, we have to struggle and struggle so that our businesses will move forward, our career, we make progress, we have to struggle and struggle. But this person is not struggling, he's just doing everything, and everything he does is just prospering. The secret is that there's another environment that is with that person. Though it is invisible, but it is not invisible to that person. Yeah, there's an environment that follows that believer. That is why everything he does prospers. Because there's an environment that follows him. Yeah. And the unbelievers, they don't have that environment. So they have to do so many things. They have to keep trying many things, and those things keep failing. Yeah, but there is this Christian that he prays regularly, fasts regularly, does everything, spiritual exercises all the time. He makes sure that he's spiritually minded, not carnally minded. And then everything that Christian does is always prospering, always moving forward. He's not confused. He's not depressed. Yeah, he's always surrounded with God's presence. He or she is always soaked in God's presence. So everything begins to move forward, and other people began to ask questions. How is he doing it? What is his secret? Is it not the same thing we are doing? The same job he's doing is the same job I'm doing. The same business he's doing is the same business I'm doing. Why are things different with him and difficult with me? The secret is that those two people are not in the same environment. Yeah, that's the secret. Though physically, they think they are in the same environment. So I believe I'm not in the same environment that the people of the world are. No, I am not. That is why people that have come closer to me, they know that I don't think like other people think. I do things differently. So in fact, You might call me a strange person. If you follow me, if you watch my lifestyle, you will consider my life to be strange. Yeah. And to me, it's just normal. And it's just natural. Yeah. So I don't believe that I am living in the same environment the people of the world are living in. Yeah. And that is why a lot of strange things happen with me that they don't even understand. Because we are not in the same environment. Though in the same world, but not the same environment. Though in the same earth, but not in the same environment. So, I'm coming back to the same point we are looking at. And the point is, your spirit yearns for the environment it was created to live and function from the beginning. Your spirit is looking for that environment. You know, but the painful thing is that Christians are not looking for the environment their spirit is looking for. Yeah. Your spirit is telling you that you have not prayed very well today. And then you are saying, shut up. I need to think about life. Your spirit is telling you that you have not prayed today. You are telling your spirit to shut up that you need to think about life. You need to think about what are you thinking about? Yeah. And if you look at all those things you get busy about, all those things you spend time doing every day of your life that is different from the environment your spirit is yearning for, you will see that they don't produce success. Yeah. Somehow, they get you more frustrated. Somehow, they get you more anxious. Somehow, those things get you more depressed. They get you more carnal. Yeah, and dead. Yeah, then why not just forsake those things and join your spirit? Follow your spirit into God's presence. Yeah. Yeah, your spirit is looking for that environment, the environment of God's presence. David said that he is glad every time they give announcement, let us go into the house of God. David said he is always glad. And then in Psalm 23, verse 6, David said he will dwell in the house of God forever. Yeah. So your spirit is always wanting that environment. Yeah. Even though the environment we have now as Christians, I mean the environment of God's presence that we have access to now is still not as it will be soon when the world comes to an end, because this world is coming to an end. Yeah. So the spiritual environment we enjoy now is not like what we will enjoy when the end comes. Yeah, but even though it's not like that, it is still very powerful that witches and wizards are so afraid to come near that environment. Demons are so afraid to come near that environment. sickness and diseases are so afraid to come near that environment. Yeah, because it is so powerful. And this is the environment that... Yeah. You get bored in God's presence. How can you get bored in God's presence? If you are getting bored in God's presence, it means you need deliverance. Something is wrong with you need deliverance. Yeah, because God's presence should not be where you get bored or you get tired. I think I've prayed 2 hours now. I think I'm done. Yeah, I think I'm done. If that is how you approach God's presence, you need to ask God to release you and revive you into the reality of His presence. Yeah, there's a deliverance that will happen to your spirit. There's a revival that will happen to your spirit. And you will now be, you will keep enjoying, how do I say it in English? You will now be enjoying God's presence and not getting bored with God's presence. Yeah. Or getting tired. If you're getting bored or getting tired, it means and you need revival. Yeah. God's presence is a place where you don't want to live. You don't want to live. Yeah, because the enjoyment is matchless. It is incomparable to any other kind of enjoyment. The power there is great. The life there is glorious. Yeah. God's presence is not where you get to and then you start feeling bored. Yeah, you should not want to leave. You know, it's just like the intimacy between couples or husband and wife, especially during the time that they fell in love, you know, how the people of the world usually fell in love. Yeah. Maybe even adult man, adult woman, and then they fall in love with each other, and then the man says, I just always want to be where you are. I just always want to be close to you. I can't stop thinking about you. In fact, I can't eat if I have not. Yeah, so they feel like they get so attached to each other. Yeah, that, you know, such that they begin to run after each other, look for each other, always want to be with each other. So that is the nature of love among men. Yeah. Yeah, they call it fell in love. Yeah, that I fell in love with her, or I fell in love. That love means that they are busy looking for each other. They always want to be with one another. Now, thing happened in the kingdom of God, though much more than that. But similar thing happen in God's kingdom. Yeah, so you are supposed to so much love God that you can't do without Him. You so much enjoy talking to Him, enjoy looking at Him. Yeah, so some of you think if you say something, it's not all the time you have to say something when you are in prayer. What about just look at God? Just keep looking at Him. So I can sometimes be in prayer for 4 hours and I'm not saying anything. Yeah, I'm not saying anything. I'm just blessing God, praising God. I'm just beholding God. Yeah. I'm before God 4 hours, 5 hours. I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything. I'm not asking for anything. And what am I doing? I'm just looking at God, beholding God. That's all. Yeah, you know, just as you can stay with your wife and then you are not talking, and then you are just looking at each other. Yeah, that is what I'm talking about. So, your spirit is looking for that relationship. So you are not supposed to get tired of God's presence. Even if you don't know what to say, just stay there. Just stay there in God's presence. Even if you sleep and you wake up, still remain there in God's presence. That is what your spirit wants. Yeah. And those that are wise will not deprive their spirit of such desire or craving. Yeah, so because of time, I'm going to stop here, but I believe you get the, yeah, even though the people of the world, they could fall in love with themselves, and after a while they start cheating on each other, after a while they can't find that love they claim they had with each other again. Yeah, that is not the same with the love that is in the kingdom of God. Yeah. It's a love that after you have found that love and you have surrendered to that love, you will not want to lose that love forever. Yeah. Because you have not known the love of God. You have not found the love of God. That is why you could look at God's. It's because you have not known His love. You have not found His love. Or maybe I should say, you have not fallen in love with Him. Known His love, you will not sin against Him. Yeah, you will not intentionally. It is impossible. If you do sin against Him, it's because you have not found His love. You have not known His love. Yeah. Because that love is powerful. You've been intoxicated with alcohol. You just can't stop talking about God in your heart for God. you can't just talking about God. You can't just stop talking about God, and then you can't just stop thinking about God. God all the time. You can't just stop. If you still can stop, it's because you have not found that love. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Because I know what I have found. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. So, let your spirit draw you into the environment it is craving for. Yeah, that is the point of this teaching. The environment your spirit is craving for, give it to him. That is how you will be saved. Because eventually the spirit will go back to God, but your own soul will not get to God. Yeah. Your own soul will not get to God. Yeah. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that the spirit, yeah, but your soul, if it's not saved, will not make heaven. Yeah. It will not. We are going to stop here. If you have a question, you can ask. You can ask on the Telegram platform. Yeah, let us pray. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you to us. Yeah. The first you gave man was made us a living being. And then the second you gave man was the Holy Spirit, through which we become saved and we become transformed. For this that you have given to us, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary that can now release our spirit from the bondage of corruption to be connected with you and with your environment, which is our environment. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, I ask that the influence of the flesh and the carnal nature, the Adamic nature, the corrupt man in the life of everyone who have had this teaching, I ask that the influence of the old man, the corrupt man, the sinful man in the lives of everyone hearing my voice right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you do your work of deliverance and revival in everyone, that everyone's spirit may be released to begin to access the environment you want us to live every day. Father, release our spirit now in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that your spirit shall no longer be under the bondage of your senses, of your human senses, of your carnal senses. Your spirit shall no longer be under the bondage of these senses. Your spirit shall now be released by the fire of God in the name of Jesus. Henceforth, you shall begin to think like your Father, like your Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.